Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Two Post, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Had a great day today. I hope you did. We were able to go out and preach at a religious building and then get some other things done. It was awesome. The word went out. Getting ready, planning for some new events coming up as we get ready to move into another state. Today, we want to jump into James chapter 3. We're going to be working on verses 1 through 5. So let's get right at it. James chapter 3, starting with verse 1. By the way, you can go to don'tperish.com. You can catch up at all of the verse-by-verse teachings. Look for the verse-by-verse tab, and I know you'll be edified by them. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay, so the key to this verse, he's talking about, my brethren, be not many masters. That word master, diaskalos, it means instructor or teacher, instructor or teacher. And so James is warning that anyone who strives to teach God's word, we know this, they're going to be held to a very high standard. As proof, how do we know this? Well, we look at the Old Testament. The teachers in the Old Testament, they were stoned to death when they taught something falsely. Go read Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. And also, go read Ezekiel 13, 8 and 9. It says this, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I'm against you, saith the Lord, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies, and shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Yeah, if you're a false teacher, what's going to happen is God's going to stand against you. He's going to oppose you in many, many ways. Amen? The New Testament word also deals with false teachers. It tells us to mark and avoid them. Romans 16, 17, other places. And in the book of Titus, chapter 1, I actually have teachings on this, or I have teachings on all this at the teaching blog. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, Paul talks about the qualifications of a teacher. So he lays it all out, teacher, elder, what they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to teach, what they're supposed to be about. So that would be good to look that up, look up my articles, look up those scriptures. And then 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 is a great, great warning about false teachers. Ready? I'll read a bunch of different verses here. 1 and 2, 4 and 5, 12 and 13. But there were false prophets among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Yeah. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak of the evil things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Wow. Not a very good description of these type of men, but that's what James is saying. You want to be a teacher, watch out. There's going to be, you're going to be held to, what does he say? Receiving the greater damnation. So yeah, he talks about the greater damnation. That word damnation or condemnation, krima, means judgment, sentence, damnation. Judgment, sentence, damnation. So it's a great warning. And if you're going to be a teacher, you better ask God for wisdom. You better teach and divide God's word rightly. And you better not lead people astray. Jesus talked about millstones upon those that would stumble. That would be included in teachers as well. So that's what verse 1 is all about, making sure teachers are going to be held to the greater condemnation. Be careful if you take on that endeavor. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. All right, so this instruction is going into talking about our words. And it's a general teaching about words. And he's going to go on further as we get further into chapter 3. He says, in many things we stumble or offend. That means stumble. So what he's saying is that humans can do a lot of things wrong. We can sin. We can make the wrong decisions. We can say a lot of the wrong things. But in word, he says, right? If any man offend not in the word, ready? Logos. Yeah. That is the same word, same meaning, of God speaking the world into existence. And then we have the Logos of God, the Word of God. Christ became the Word of God made flesh, or Christ is the Word made flesh. And so that word Logos, speech, saying something, right? So that's what that means. And then the point that he's trying to make here is if a man can control his tongue, which is talking about his words, right? He is deemed to be perfect. Do you remember our teaching? We talked about perfect. I did a whole teaching on perfect. Good timing for that. That word is teleos. It means complete mature. It doesn't mean you never, ever, ever make a mistake or you never, ever fall into sin that you have to repent of. It means you're complete and mature, which means you don't do it very often. Okay? Complete mature believers don't live on in sin. And so he says you're perfect. If you can control your tongue, wow, what a nice thing. The Bible commands us over 30 times in the New Testament to be perfect. That means we better get working on our tongues. Amen? I think so. We definitely better. You can control your tongue. You could be on the path to being a perfect person that the Bible speaks about. That should be our goal for the glory of God. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. I like that. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge. What we say, how we say it, can mean a lot, but fools, people that don't use their words with wisdom, end up in all kinds of trouble, don't they? Jesus said it as well. Matthew 12:36, what did he say? We're going to give account for every idle word. Yeah. Go read Matthew 12:36. So the tongue, it's speaking about our words, how we use them, too much, too little, the wrong words. And it's going to be expounded upon more as we go here. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Okay. This verse right here means a lot to me as an example. Why? I grew up with horses. I grew up on farms. In my adult life, I had horses, and I trained wild Mustangs that I adopted from being rounded up out west, and I trained them. But this is all before Christ, of course. Once I became a Christian, I got rid of that idolatrous hobby of horses that wasted my time and my money and my effort. But anyway, it's so true here. It's so true. I took those horses, I trained them, I gentled them, and then I taught them to put a metal bit in their mouth, okay? And then I could turn this 1,500-pound animal any way I wanted, anywhere, forward, backwards, right, left, up, down, all because of this bit. That, what did the metal bit do? The metal bit, it didn't really hurt them. It wasn't like poking them, cutting them, making them bleed. The metal bit caused either discomfort when they weren't obeying or no discomfort. And they kind of just chew on the metal bit. It doesn't hurt them. When you pull on it hard, it puts pressure on their tongue, pressure on the roof of their mouth. If you pull hard enough, it would put pressure on their teeth. Okay? And so that's what this metal bit does, but it's basically about their tongue. It rides on the tongue, okay? And you can control this whole animal. He's making the point, James is making the point, that controlling the beast's mouth, you control the whole animal. That's what he's trying to teach us. If we can control our mouths, we can pretty much control our whole life or much of it. And so think about that. You see people riding horses, understand that bit is in his mouth. He's being controlled. He knows if he misbehaves, that bit's going to put pressure on that sensitive area, his tongue. I love that example so much. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth them. All right, so he's talking about how they control ships, all right? This is another interesting one, because I also, as a pagan, grew up around boats and boating, and I know a little bit about ships and rudders. Oh, it's very interesting to me. Have you ever seen a huge ship, all right? Like a giant ship like the Titanic, all right? There was famous Titanic that sailed and then sunk and all those people died. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the word helm, it means a rudder. Pedalion, it's like paddle. It's where we get the word paddle, like when you're paddling in a canoe or a boat. But it's a giant rudder, okay? And it sits on the back of the ship. And what does it do? It helps the ship steer, all right? Here's some interesting facts. In comparison to a ship, that rudder is super, super, super small. Let me give you some examples. Rudders, now this isn't across the board true, but I just read some information in the boating industry. Rudders are like 1/70th the length of the ship. All right, 1/70th. That means they are tiny compared to length of the ship. So small, but yet they can help it steer. Ready? We talked about the Titanic. Let's talk about this. We talked about the Titanic. The rudder. Well, let me just tell you this. The Titanic was one of the largest ships of its time. 882 feet. Okay? 882 feet. And the rudder of the Titanic was 15 feet long. 15 feet long. But it was 882 feet long. What this is teaching us by this example, I love this example, like the horse's bit, this small little rudder could turn and affect this giant ship. Our small little tongues can do much harm, or they can do much good. Amen? It's a very, very wise thing to get a hold of, this knowledge of the tongue, your words, and how to use them properly for God's glory, also for your own walk in this world. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Yeah, I'm a street preacher. I know all about this. My words out in the street mean a lot. If I was to start cussing, man, people are going to be all over me quickly. And they're going to discount me and destroy my witness. If I say mean, unbiblical words that aren't true, it's also going to demean my witness and defame God's truth. If I'm harsh where I shouldn't be, or nice where I should be harsh. Yeah, there's all different levels out here. Rebuking, exhorting, correcting, being meek, being humble, being bold, proclaiming, listening. All these things are controlled by words, whether I say them, whether I don't say them, how I say them, what I say. Amen? So very, very important. James is trying to drive home this matter of the tongue. It controls so much. That ship, those horses, our lives, our witness, our walk. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So the whole point that James is driving home here is the tongue is like dwarfed compared to the rest of your body, like that rudder is dwarfed compared to the size of the Titanic. Yet it has the power to what? Destroy, bless, ruin, lift up, edify, tear down. Amen? He uses the word boast great things. That means, in this context, it means arrogant and egotistical. Arrogant and egotistical. So he's likening words, the tongue, like a fire. James is really hitting home for me because as a kid, I love fire. I guess most kids do. I still do like fire. I like having a campfire. I love cooking things. I love heating. My house, when I had a homestead with fire, we hit in our camper van right now, we have an alcohol heater. We actually use a little can and we burn alcohol and it burns real clean and it heats our van for us. Like tonight, it's real cold. Sister Amon's in the van. She got the little alcohol heater going. When I go back, it's going to be nice and warm. And so I love fire. And James is likening fire to the tongue. And we all know what fire does, right? What does it do? A little tiny fire, a spark of a match can what? Spread quickly. And what can it do? I know as a kid, I almost caught a forest on fire messing around with gas. Yeah, I won't get into that story. A little bit of fire can spread quickly. What can it do? It can warm your house. It can cook your food. It could light your way if it's a torch. And it could burn your house down. And it could kill people. It could take their lives. Fire does that all the time. It happens, and it's so sad. So James' point is, be aware of the power of this little member, the tongue, like a fire. Words can spread. Words can control. Words can lift up. Words can destroy. And as followers of the Most High, let's use our example by Jesus and by Paul. Controlled their words very much with great wisdom, led by the Spirit. There's a big key. Be led by the Spirit of God, not the flesh. And you'll go a long way, and so will I, to not getting in trouble with our words. I want to finish this study with some reading of some verses for you. Job 6:24, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. So when we don't know things, we should hold our tongue, right? Bible says in Proverbs, a fool speaks about what he doesn't know. Psalm 12:3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Yeah, I've been preaching about that a lot. Proverbs 6:17, God hates proud looks and pride. Here he says he's going to deal with, cut off the tongue that speaketh proud things. Yeah, we hear people all the time talking about how proud they are about this, proud they are about that, proud to be a Baptist, proud to be an American, proud that I lost 50 pounds. I always tell them, God hates pride. I'm proud I have that, Pastor. I say, God hates pride. And they just look at me and walk away. They don't even want to hear about it. Our lips, our tongues, our words, very critical. Isaiah 3:8, for Jerusalem is ruined, Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Yes, see, their words. Words lead to actions many times, don't they? Yeah, they do. James 1:26. Remember, we studied this in the earlier verse by verse. Any man among you to seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, horse bridle, right, the bit, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. This is really important because James and other parts of the Bible tell us, if you can't control your tongue, your faith's not in order. Your life's not in order. Your heart's not in order. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. Yeah, that's a really important verse right there. That's your homework assignment. Go look up that verse. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Whatever you speak about, proclaim, Whatever you say, it's coming out of your heart. It's not coming off your tongue. Your tongue's just a piece of flesh. It's coming out of your heart. Very important point to consider in this teaching. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Yeah, so Peter's saying, hey, you want to have love this life? You want to see good days? Control your tongue. Watch what you say. Sounds like wisdom there. So that's where we're going to leave it for this James 3, 1 through 5. Go back and reread this, or I should say re-listen to it. Read all the verses. Consider the power of the tongue, like fire, like a horse's bit, like a tiny rudder on a huge ship. Controls much, can bless, can damn, can destroy. And in all of it, we can lift up and glorify God, or we can speak against God. We can sin against God. We can defame God's word. Let that not be so among God's people. Consider the power of the tongue. And we're going to leave right there. We're going to pick up next time at verse 6 through 10 in James chapter 3. Hope you're enjoying this study. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. I hope you're striving in the biblical gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. We are down the gospel road tomorrow, headed into a new state. Pretty excited. This weekend, if the weather holds, it's supposed to rain maybe this weekend. We're in that rainy season. But we got two really good events coming up, both in the same town, one on one night, one on the other night, that we are excited about doing. And I'm not going to give them away. You'll have to stay tuned to that. Coming up, watch our street preaching videos, all at don'tperish.com. Check out all the rest of the verse by verse. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Repent and obey the gospel. He is so worthy. Our King is so worthy and loving and glorious and gracious. But he's also demanding and requires that we watch our every word. We love you all. Till next time, have a joyous night. May God be praised.